Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Mark Halperin, the author of Winter's Tale and A Soldier of the Great War. And coming in the not-too-distant future, Paris in the present tense. Mark Halperin, you've been giving a lot of thought to these various challenges from major players. One factor that I think is particularly worrying to me about China, especially with its historical and present ambitions, is a demographic reality. And I'd ask you to sort of explain this for us, if you would. It is, according to some like my friend Gordon Chang, about 40 million men in communist China today, most of them fighting age, for whom there are no women as a result of the predictable but nonetheless ignored implications of the one-child policy. What does it mean that there are those kinds of folks who have a lot to be unhappy about in a country with the sorts of seeming dreams that the communist Chinese have at the moment?
Well, there's theory of history, which I'm not sure I sign on to, but certainly there is great demographic instability in China because there are not enough women, and you have these men who are running around who won't have families and who are frustrated and anxious, and that often results in, when you have an overabundance of young men, it results in a very warlike policy. However, if you can consider that that's a fairly small portion of China's 1.2 or 3 billion people, and that historically when there has been a shortage of women, there are ways to deal with that, such as loosening sexual mores or prostitution. Look at the difference between Europe in the 19th century and America in the 19th century. You had tremendous legalized prostitution, even now, whereas in America it's all sub rosa and there's much less of it. And that, so societies make adjustments for that kind of thing, and I don't think it's a really too much of a major factor.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch, because one other way is to go get the women someplace else, needless to say. Hey, Mark, I do want to keep moving along here, because I know that there's much more to cover in our briefing for the president-elect. I did want to ask you, though, quickly, were you moved one way or the other by the call between the president of Taiwan and Donald Trump? Did you think that that has larger implications in all of the things we've just been talking about, or was it just a congratulatory call and nothing more?
Well, it may have been intended or received by the president-elect as just a congratulatory call, but in Asia, there's no such thing as just, and obviously it has tremendous implications, and I'm in favor of those implications, but again, what they do is point to the big question, and these big questions are always extremely difficult because they get down to the bone, and the question is, do we or do we not want to maintain our Western defensive perimeter as it has been maintained? If we do, then yes, it's excellent to speak to the president of Taiwan, because what it should be followed by is a buildup of our Navy, for example, and our Air Force.
Which the president-elect has promised, needless to say. But Mark, a related point is he has also talked about some of those first island chain, if you will, nations, notably Japan and South Korea, getting their own nuclear weapons. Does that make sense in this environment? And might the same apply to Taiwan, for that matter?
In fact, I was thinking about that this morning, that very thing. And I find that scary, because although there's a certain advantage in that, if, let's say, Japan had nuclear weapons, or Taiwan had nuclear, or Taiwan, forget it, because it's too small. It could be completely overwhelmed very quickly in a nuclear first strike. And this, it's very far from having SSBNs, you know, nuclear missile submarines. But if Japan, for instance, were to go nuclear, or South Korea, or Taiwan, the advantage would be that we wouldn't have to engage with China. It wouldn't be an all or nothing, you know, American nuclear umbrella, American nuclear war with China to protect these countries. The disadvantage would be the tremendous instability As we see, as various countries get nuclear weapons, including Iran, which will get them soon, courtesy of Barack Obama and Senator Corker, and Pakistan, I don't want to give anything away, and I really can't say that I know anything. But here's the question that one would ask, and that may have been asked, anything other than this intended of our high officials: do we have a strategy for seizing Pakistan's nuclear weapons should the government of Pakistan be overwhelmed by jihadists? And I'm not going to answer that question, but I can tell you that I'm not confident that we do.
I'm not confident that we do either, or even that we know where they are, let alone have the plan for getting them out of there. We had, as you know so well, Mark Halperin developed a very impressive, ultimately successful ability to go in and get one guy, namely bin Laden. But this is a whole other kettle of fish. And the question, and one of the things I just wanted to ask you about, Mark, in connection with sort of rogue states, is isn't the Pakistan government more or less aligned with the jihadists already? I mean, hasn't it really since Zia's time been a pro Islamist enterprise that, yes, will do business with us, much like the Saudis do, but not necessarily a reliable partner either?
Well, yeah, Pakistan, as a country that is built around an army rather than vice versa, I characterize it as a pressure cooker. You know, the top is clamped on and there's heat under it, and you never know when it's going to blow. But thus far, the balance between the Islamists and the jihadis in Pakistan who support Islamism and the jihad has been maintained, the balance with the more conventional people who want to keep the state and the army and see India as a major, as their main opponent. And thus far, Pakistan has stayed stable in that respect, but it could always tilt one way or another. We would like it to tilt more towards what it has always, what it used to be when it wasn't so, when there wasn't this jihadi explosion out of the Middle East and Central Asia.
Mark, two other countries that deserve at least a passing mention in our briefing. You've touched on Iran a little bit, but there's also North Korea out there in Asia raising menacing threats to our allies in the region, but also increasingly with the capability to attack us here at home. There are some who point to their two satellites orbiting the Earth at the moment as potential delivery platforms, for example, for an electromagnetic pulse attack against this country, take down its grid and have horrific consequences. Calibrate for the president-elect, if you would, what you make of the situation with North Korea at the moment.
Well, I don't think those satellites are armed with nuclear weapons, but the fact that they can put a satellite in orbit means that they have an aim point so that they can actually aim a ballistic missile with a circular error probable, which is reasonably accurate. But here's the thing about North Korea. North Korea holds hostage South Korea. There are 13,000 heavy artillery pieces within range of Seoul in underground bunkers that are made to resist air attack and counter battery fire. They have a huge arsenal of chemical and biological weapons, which could be sent in binary shells into Seoul as well. So that the fact that that neutralized our tactical nuclear advantage that we had for a short time on the Korean Peninsula, we're really stuck, because if we were to make a conventional attack against the North Korean nuclear infrastructure, there would be all hell on the Korean Peninsula. And unlike a lot of people, I say, you know, people say, oh, well, we would defeat them in very short order. Well, I don't think that's true. I think it would be the millions dead, and possibly like the first Korean War, where it would go back and forth, and who knows about what China might do.
Mark, hold the thought, and when we come back, we'll get your last thoughts on North Korea, and then we'll segue to address with Mark Halperin the Islamists right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.